chapter 11, verse 5 through 8. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. Scriptures will be on the screens. And let's dig in. You guys ready to go? Let's do it. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 says, "Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, 'A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat.' And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, 'Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you.' But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence." Everyone say shameless persistence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time today together in your word. And Lord, I pray that God, as we celebrate freedom that we enjoy in this nation, God, I pray that we will also take a moment and celebrate the freedom that exists and that we have from you, God, because your word declares that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you that as sons and daughters of God, we are free indeed. And there is only true freedom found in Christ. And Lord, I pray that we will all know that, experience that, celebrate that, and go to a deeper place of that today in our 4th of July celebrations. Lord, I pray that that your word will be a tool, will be a stepping stone to that today as we dig into your word this morning. Speak to us, Father. Put your hand on your belly. Say that after me. Say, "Speak to me right now. Let your word come alive in my spirit. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Anybody in this place, raise your hand. If you're a morning person, let me see your hands real quick. If you're a morning person, you enjoy getting up early and like getting after it, all right. Who's not a morning person? Mornings are from the devil. It's okay. Raise your hand. We're all created differently. It's okay. This is not a better or worse. This is just a different situation. Listen, I cannot tell you how many Saturdays have started off on the wrong foot between me and my wife because we share two very deeply opinions and ideas about mornings. I'll be honest, I am a morning person, okay? I like to get up early. Sleeping in for me, if I have a Saturday or something to sleep in, I'm still going to get up at probably 7. And some of you guys are like, "Oh, that's super late." Okay, whatever. That's still early for me. I'm usually up a lot earlier than that through the week and on other days. So sleeping in. Now, here's the thing. I like to get up. I like to mill around, have my coffee, watch a couple YouTube videos, you know what I mean? Do my thing, get ready before I attack the day, make plans and all this stuff. My wife, on the other hand, sleep is like her favorite hobby. It's literally her favorite thing to do. Her worst day of the year is that fall back when we lose an hour. Like, just, you don't even want to be around my wife on that day, honestly. She loves to sleep. Sleeping in is her thing. When she gets a chance to sleep on a Saturday morning, she's ready to sleep. And you know, I've tried to learn over the years to give her space, because when she wakes, because here's the problem. When I wake up, I'm like usually ready to go. I wake up, I'm stomping around, I'm moving things around. I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to have my coffee. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do. I got all these things going on in my head. Let's roll. Let's do it. Let's get after it. Luann, on the other hand, especially on a Saturday or day off, when she wakes up, she's not quite ready to get after it just yet. You know what I mean? She's a little bit of a slow waker-upper. And here's where the friction comes in a lot of times, that this is, like, we've had to take a moment. Like, this has started fights and started our weekends off on the wrong foot many, many times. Because here's the problem. I thought that when she woke up and when she was awake and rolled out of bed, I thought that meant that she was ready to hear about all my grand plans and schemes for what I was going to do and what we were going to do and what I plan on you needing to do today as well. And the reality is, she basically only woke up to say that she did. You know what I mean? That's the only reason she's out of bed, just to say that she's out of bed for the day. And so not understanding that and taking a long time to finally give her that space and understand that has caused a lot of friction here. And here's why I share that, because if you just look at the surface reading of this parable, obviously the guy who's knocking on the door, that's us. The guy who's in the house, that in a way represents God, it represents our Father. But on the surface, on just the very surface of reading that, this parable kind of, if we're honest, paints God as kind of a kind of a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean you won't? He's saying, get away. I'm not getting up to help you out right now. What kind of good, loving God is going to tell us to go away? I'm not going to help you. I thought if anybody was going to help, it was supposed to be God. Amen, somebody? I thought if anybody was going to help us out. But here's the, so we can paint the guy in the house as the jerk and on the surface, but really the reality is the jerk is the guy knocking on his door in the middle of the night waking him up, is it not? Like, the jerk is the guy expecting everyone else to get up. And listen, you come knocking on, as much as a morning person I am, you knock on my door at 2 or 3 in the morning, you're not going to get Pastor Justin, you're going to get angry Justin very, very quickly. Amen, somebody? And it's the same thing. So really, the guy that's out of line here, and the guy that's typically out of line is us, the guy that's knocking on the door. And so if on the surface, you're like, man, why is God being so cruel? Why is God being so mean? How is God saying no? I thought if I prayed in Jesus' name, God would answer my prayers. We're going to dig into that a little bit because there are some principles here you need to understand about God. This parable paints a couple of really good characteristics of God the Father that we need to understand if we're not going to be continually frustrated in our walk with God. And the first thing that we see is this, and we got to understand this one thing that I'm about to share with you probably has shaped and transformed my view and my walk with God almost more than any other principle that I've learned throughout my time serving Jesus and studying the scripture. And it's this very simple. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. One principle that this parable shows us is this, is the fact that, don't miss this, it is faith that moves God, not necessarily my need. Amen. Amen. God is not often moved simply by way of me having a need alone. God is moved to action. Heaven is moved to action by my faith. Amen, somebody? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the author of Hebrews writes that it is faith that pleases God, and without faith, it is in fact impossible to please God. You see that? It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely, or some translations will say who earnestly seek him, okay? And the reason this is so important, this is where so many people get frustrated and get upset with God, because they'll come to church and they'll say a prayer and they'll start to do some things that they feel like they're supposed to do to get God's attention. And then all of a sudden a need arises. They'll say, well, wait a minute, I have this need in my life. Why is God not moving? Why does God not care? Why does God not bless me? I had this financial need. I had this marital need. I had this relational need. I had this job need. God, I have all these holes in my life. Why are you not filling them? Why are you not taking care of them? And if I think that it is my need alone that moves the hand of heaven, I will continually be frustrated. But scripture shows me that it is not just the fact that I have a need, but it is when that need begins to come under the authority of my faith that then I get heaven's attention. Amen, somebody? So we can look at this parable and go, well, man, what is this? The guy is in need. He's got, in fact, there's the thing that kind of shocks me when you look at this parable about the need. The guy knocking on the door in the middle of the night that kind of represents us in our prayer life. Listen, it's not even his need he's praying for. He says, hey, I had some company show up unexpectedly in the middle of the night. They woke me up, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what to do. This isn't even this guy's need, and yet it is not need alone that gets God up, if for lack of a better term. It is faith. Here's what you understand. Listen, God is not moved by my need. He's moved by faith. And listen, faith is demonstrated in persistent pursuit. Let me say it again. Faith is demonstrated in persistent pursuit. If I knock, if I pray, if I ask, if I seek one time, and if the first no, or the first not right now, or the first let's hold on a second, if that gets me to abandon my pursuit, how much faith am I really operating in? If I turn tail, run, give up, and quit, frustrated, kicking the dirt, mad at God, the first time that God doesn't move right when I think or right how I think, or it maybe just says, hey, not right now. If that gets me to abandon the thing that I'm after, how can I say that I really want that? How can I say I really am going after that? If the first no gets me to quit, how much faith am I operating in? None. Faith is demonstrated in persistent pursuit. The more I want a thing, the more I will pursue it. When my wife and I started dating back in high school, she lived in Harrison, I lived in Brookville. She was a Buckeye, I was a Hoosier. It was West Side Story all over again. We were dating all through high school before cell phones, before there was no, like, now we don't even think about it. Almost every cell phone plan has, like, unlimited minutes, unlimited long distance. It's, like, not even a thing anymore. Back in the day when you had a landline, you had this thing called long distance. I remember having to pay long distance. And I would have to buy, for us to talk on the phone, because, you know, we were worlds apart, Harrison, Ohio. Brookville, Ohio, Indiana. For us to chat on the phone, I would go buy, I can't even tell you how many hundreds of dollars I spent on long distance cards. Remember those long distance cards you go to the gas station to buy and have a certain amount of minutes, and because it was long distance to talk to each other on the phone. Man, I spent hundreds of dollars on long distance phone calls. There were times that I ran up my mom and dad's phone bill and they wanted to choke me to death and said, guess what? You're paying this phone bill. And I'm like, okay, why was I willing to invest that time? Why was I willing to invest that money? Why? Because I was pursuing her. Amen, somebody? If you're dating now, it's like all text messages and Snapchat and TikTok and all these other things. I don't even know how kids are communicating these days. But back in the day when it was a phone call, we used to play this little game. I can't even believe I'm going to share this, but this little silly, stupid game. Anybody ever play the You Hang Up First game back in the day? Remember that? Okay, I got to go. All right, you hang up. Now you hang up. Oh, God. I want to vomit even sharing it. I'm sorry. I want to go back in time and punch myself in the face. That's the way it was. Why? Why? I was in pursuit. Amen, somebody? I was in pursuit, okay? Desire is demonstrated in pursuit. Faith is demonstrated in pursuit. I can't say that I really want something if I'm unwilling to persistently pursue and going after it. I can't say that I'm really believing God to do something that I'm operating in faith if I pray one time and it doesn't happen, I give up and abandon the cause and do something else. I'm not operating in faith. Faith is demonstrated in persistent pursuit, and it is faith that moves heaven, not my need. Amen. Amen. I've got to get that understanding about God, or else I will continually be frustrated. I will continually think that God is uncaring, unloving, and uncompassionate if I'm waiting for God to move simply because I have a need and I expect God to do something about it. God says, okay, I have your need, and he cares about that need, but he invites us into the process and invites us to know him deeper as we take that need and put it under the umbrella of faith and let faith dictate to us how we operate with that need. Amen, somebody? And part of faith is persistent pursuit, okay? And this wasn't a selfish need. This is a need that woke this cat up in the middle of the night. He said, hey, this isn't bread for myself. I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for somebody else. Listen, and some of you right now have some needs in your life. Some of you online right now at home have some needs in your life that are keeping you up at night. Some of you might have some needs in your life that are causing you to lose sleep. Some of you right now may have some needs in your life that it takes a long time for you as your head hits the pillow for your mind to quiet down because you got needs and they're real and they're in your face and you don't know how it's going to work out and you're trying to believe God and it's keeping you up at night. And this is what I want you to know. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. If I have a need that won't let me sleep, then I have a prayer that I need to wake up. Amen. Come on, somebody. Don't you just lay there in your bed going over and over and over and over again at night. Don't just lay there in your bed allowing yourself to be tormented. Don't just lay there at night letting needs keep your mind up and tormented, man. If I've got a need that won't let me sleep, I'm going to have a prayer I need to wake up. Amen, somebody? If you've got something that won't let you get rest, that is keeping you up and tormenting you, then, man, get out of your bed, get the Word of God inside of you, and begin to quote the Scripture, quote God's Word, begin to speak God's Word over that situation. If I have a need that's not going to let me sleep, I've got a prayer that I'm going to wake up and I'm going to operate in faith in that thing. Amen, somebody? Amen. And that faith is demonstrated in persistent pursuit. This is the other thing you need to see about this persistence. Persistence in prayer is that persistence disturbs everything. Let's look at this parable. Jesus said the guy comes to his neighbor's house in the middle of the night. It wasn't the right time to knock on the door. Just like when the man wakes up on Saturday morning, when she first comes downstairs and rolls out of bed, that's not the right time for me to say, hey, what are we going to do about that laundry? I'll be honest, there's never a good time. I've never found a good time for that conversation. If somebody knows when that is, let me know. That's not the right time for me to be like, hey, good to see you. I've slipped off the stage and I had 15 cups of coffee and I'm ready to go. What are we, woo? No, that's not the time for any of that, okay? Same thing. It's not the right time for him to wake up his neighbor, okay? But here's what you understand. Watch this. Persistence overcame the wrong time. What if I could be so faithfully persistent in the pursuit of what God's put in my heart to pursue? What if I could be so faithfully persistent that even though it wasn't the right time, even though it was the wrong time, what if my faithful persistence could overcome and over and outdo and outpace what might not be the right time for something? That is power in our hands, friends. Amen, somebody? It wasn't the right time to get woke up, but persistence overcame the bad time that it was. Not only did persistence overcome the wrong timing, but here's what you understand, and this is what the original hearers in the New Testament would have understood about this story that Jesus is telling. The way that most houses, that normal households were set up in this time in the New Testament is that there would usually be a couple of levels, not necessarily giant like two stories, but a couple of levels in a normal abode or a house. And all of the family would sleep on one level, and like all the livestock and stuff would be on a lower level. And between where people slept and where the door, the gate, or the entrance to the house was, would have been all the animals and everybody else. So in order for the father, in order for the man of the house to get up and answer his friend's request, he wouldn't have just had to wake himself up, but he would have had to stir the whole house up. He would have had to walk through where probably the livestock was and get the kitchen going. And yet everything would have woken up. Everything would have been disturbed. Everything would have. That's why he says, man, my family, we're all sleeping, bro. This is not the right time. Go away. But the Bible says he kept knocking and kept pursuing and kept being persistent until finally the guy was willing to disturb his whole house and get what the guy needed. What if we had the kind of persistence that just disturbed everything? Come on, somebody. I think it's time for the family of God, for the children of God, for sons and daughters of God to so doggedly pursue what God has for us, to so doggedly pursue and faithfully, persistently go after what God has put in your life that, listen, everything gets turned upside down. Everything gets disturbed. Everything gets woken up. We need to disturb some things with our prayer. Amen? We need to disturb some things with our prayer life and with our persistence. Here's what I want to encourage you. Listen, don't quit. Don't quit until your persistence becomes a disturbance. Don't give up until your persistence becomes a disturbance. Don't give up until the thing you're believing for forces everything around you to get up and move around the faith that you're pushing out into your situation. Let your persistence disturb everything around you. And this is what he says. He says, though the friend won't get up just because they're friends, meaning their friendship was not a strong enough bond to make the guy get up and do what he was asking. He says, but because of his, I love this phrasing, because of his shameless persistence. In the original Greek, where Luke copies this down, the King James Version is this word impudence. It's the only word, it's actually the only time in the New Testament that this particular Greek word is used, that's translated impudence in the King James, that we get shame. And this is what impudence means. It means urgent and at times annoying solicitation. It means asking so much that you become annoying, shameless. This is the last thing we need to listen. God is moved by my faith, not by my need. I need to be persistent until things get disturbed. And the last thing I need to do is this. I need to be shameless. Everyone say, be shameless. Say it again, be shameless. Be shameless. Don't be too prideful to be persistent. Don't be afraid of asking again. Don't be too prideful to bring your cause up again. Don't be too worried about, listen, you be shameless in your pursuit of what God's put in front of you. Amen? And to be shameless, I cannot have any pride. Let me say it this way. Pride and persistence cannot coexist. Pride and persistence cannot coexist. Because in order for me to be persistent about something, it's going to require me continually going after it, continually asking, continually being persistent, for continually bringing that thing up again. And if I'm full of pride, there's a part of me that's going to eventually say, well, I've already prayed about that. I've already asked about that. I've already knocked on that door. I've already said that a million times and God still hasn't answered. So either I'm wrong or God's wrong, but something's not. No. Listen, there's no room for pride to live in my persistence. When God has put something in front of me, listen, just like now I share that story about my persistent pursuit of my wife back when we were teenagers and dating, and how ridiculous and foolish we were, and how ridiculous and foolish every young loving couple is, right? But why? You get so overwhelmed with what you're pursuing that pride doesn't play any role in it anymore. Amen, somebody. Pride and persistence cannot coexist. Don't be afraid to be shameless in your pursuit of what God has put in front of you and what God has called you to go after. Sometimes I wonder if it's just pride that stops me from being persistent, because maybe I'm afraid I'm being annoying, or maybe I've got this attitude that's like, I've already done. Listen, you know what? There's a great story in the Bible of this guy. In fact, it's a little bit later on in Luke, just a few chapters down, just a few chapters over from where we are here in Luke chapter 11. The Bible says Jesus was walking along the roadside and a great group of people were following Jesus. And the Bible says that there was these two blind men on the road. One of the Gospels gives us one of the blind men's name. His name is Bartimaeus. The Bible says that as the crowd, the blind man was set, they sat begging on the side of the road. The Bible says that the crowd goes by, he reaches out and grabs one of them. Says, hey, what's all this noise? What's this disturbance? They say, Jesus is walking this way into Jerusalem. The Bible says that Bartimaeus began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says somebody in the crowd said, shh, hey, man, be quiet. You're bugging everybody. There's important people here. Jesus got important work to do, man. What are you doing? Shh, quiet down. This ain't the time for that. And the Bible says that when the crowd tried to shush Bartimaeus, the Bible says that Bartimaeus didn't get quiet. In fact, it says that he got even louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, Bartimaeus, come on, man. We'll get you. Jesus! I studied that out a while back and found out that the Greek word that was used for the way he was calling out was the same description that they give to a raven or a crow calling. Ah! That's the same word. What happened? Listen. He was determined. I don't care how annoying I am. I don't care how much pride I've got to let go. I don't care who tells me to be quiet. Jesus is walking by. I'm pursuing my miracle. I'm pursuing my moment. I'm pursuing my healing. I don't care who I offend. I don't care how silly I look. I don't care how ridiculous it looks to you. Jesus is walking by. I'm gonna get my blessing. This is my moment. Jesus! Have mercy on me. Jesus finally shows up, just to let you know the end of the story. This is him, end with him crying out and shouting like a madman. Jesus shows up, says, what do you need? He says, I want to see. Jesus says, this is your day. Bam, slaps him on the head. I don't know if he really slapped him that hard, but he slaps him on the head, gets his sight. Now, do you think for a moment the momentary shame or embarrassment or silliness that Bartimaeus may have felt in the moment that he was persistently pursuing and crying out to Jesus to have mercy on him, do you think that he cared for a moment about that the moment he got his sight? What I'm saying is, listen, the thing that you're pursuing and that God wants to do, when God moves in that, it's going to be so amazing and so big and bless you so much that it will make you forget all about the pride you lost along the way to pursue it. Don't for a second allow pride to stop you from being shameless in the persistent pursuit of what God has for your life. That's what Jesus is telling us here. Now, well, let's circle back. Because God does still seem a little bit hard. God looks a little bit like, why doesn't he just help the guy? Why do you got to go through all this persistent stuff? Why you got to make me do all this stuff? Well, there's a lot God's doing sometimes in the pursuit. Sometimes the persistent pursuit, in the pursuit, God begins to mold me. God begins to shape me. God begins to direct me. Amen, somebody? Sometimes I can begin to pursue something real strong, and it's in that pursuit that God might move me a different direction. But if I'm giving up, if I'm like, no, this is it, I'm not going after it anymore, I'm just going to stay right where I am. There's a lot of things that can happen in the pursuit. But I don't want you to miss this, because if you just take this little chunk of scripture out of Luke 11, then you can get this idea that like God is like, you know, this guy in the sky holding all these things for us, wanting us to jump through a bunch of hoops and do a bunch of things. That's really not what Jesus is saying here. To understand that, you have to kind of zoom out a little bit, get a little bit of a bigger view of what Jesus is saying. This entire section of Luke 11, Jesus is talking all about prayer. The thing that predicates, Cody, come on up if you would. The thing that predicates this entire thing is the disciples in Luke 11 say, Jesus teaches how to pray. And this is where it starts with Luke giving the disciples the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer. Pray this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and all that. And then after he gives them the Lord's Prayer, he says, because what he wanted to do is he wanted to make sure they knew this is not just some religious words, some kind of incantation or chant I want you to have. He said, this is the model of which we pray, but then you have to persistently continue to pray. So he shares this story. He shares this parable to say, listen, keep praying, keep seeking, keep pursuing. Then he goes in after the parable. He says, so whatever I tell you, ask and you will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Again, keep seeking, keep pursuing. Then he says this. This is where it all comes together and you have to read this all as a whole. He says, if your heavenly father, he says, if your child asks you for a snake, none of you fathers would give him, or ask you for a fish, none of your fathers would give you a snake. He says, if your children ask you for a piece of bread, none of you fathers are going to give your child a stone. And then he says this. This is really that whole chunk. This is what he's saying. He says, if you, being earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, here's what it is. How much more does your Father in heaven know how to give? And that phrase, how much more, applies to this whole idea that Jesus is telling, this whole teaching that Jesus is giving out of prayer. If you, being earthly fathers, sinful fathers, fleshly fathers, know how to take care of your children, how much more will your Father in heaven take care of you? If this earthly friend won't get up and do anything simply because you're friends, but if it's the pursuit, if it's the persistent pursuit that would still drive an earthly friend to get up and take care of someone's need, how much more will your persistent pursuit cause God, your heavenly Father, to take care of your needs? Amen, somebody? This is not where Jesus is saying, well, God is just this guy dangling things in heaven, wanting you and I to jump through hoops and wanting you and I to, you know, let me see if you really want it or see if you really want to go after it. This is not how God operates. That's not how our Heavenly Father who created you, loves you, sent Jesus to die for you operates. No, he's saying if an earthly friend would not even get out of bed except you kept knocking, how much more will your Heavenly Father get out of bed if you keep knocking? How much more will your Heavenly Father recognize your persistent pursuit? How much more will your Heavenly Father come and answer your call when you shamelessly persist in prayer? This is not God being some jerk. This is Jesus saying, how much more? You understand this principle on earth. Now, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who loves you, created you, gave you this entire world, how much more will He recognize and bless your persistent pursuit? I don't know about you. Man, I'm thankful. I have a God and that I have a Heavenly Father that is a how much more God. Amen? That no matter how much I can see it on earth, no matter how much I can understand the principles of His kingdom, listen, that's just the base level of understanding. We have a God that is how much more. Amen? Are you thankful you have a God that's how much more this morning? Why don't you stand with me all over this place today, man? We're just gonna end right there and just be thankful for a God that is how much more. In fact, why don't you just do me a favor for a second? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Just to take a moment to let our minds be free of distraction and just focus on the Word, focus on the Lord, focus on the Holy Spirit today. In fact, I just feel like the Lord just wants to know, that's just the final word that God wants to give to somebody, man, that He is a God that is how much more. How much more. You may have been disappointed. Listen, and the beauty of that is that we may be disappointed by the relationships and by the things that we see here on this earth, but listen, that does not define God. He is a how much more God. And if I'm blessed in relationship, if I'm blessed on what I see here on this earth, if I'm blessed in what I see relationally here, guess what? That's great, but how much more does God have for us? Amen, somebody? How much more? He is a how much more God. And that good Father that we can say how much more showed us 2,000 years ago how much more when He sent Jesus Christ to die for the sin of the world, His one and only Son. God the Father, who is how much more, took the form of flesh. Jesus walked this earth for 33 years. At the end of that time, willingly gave Himself up for you and for me. And when He was doing that, you know what He was proving? He was proving this very principle. How much more? How much more does God love you? And listen, if you're in this place this morning, if you're online today with this man, in fact, you might be online for a moment and you might not even really be the one that's, maybe it's someone in your house, family member that's plugged in, but you're right now hearing this, listening to this, and something's got a hold of your heart, something's grabbing you right now. You feel heaviness in your chest, your palms are sweaty, you just have all of a sudden tuned in. Maybe here in this room right now, it's like everything is just kind of faded away and you feel like I'm talking directly to you. I promise I'm not. If you feel that way, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God in heaven reaching down right now in this moment. And in doing so, he's inviting you to receive the salvation that Jesus purchased for you 2,000 years ago. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. If you're online, I'm going to invite you to just respond through a comment, whether on YouTube or Facebook or however you're tuning in, whether it's a raised hand emoji or just saying, hey, I'm praying that prayer today. But right now, the Holy Spirit might be drawing you to a new relationship with him. Maybe you used to serve God. Maybe you used to follow Jesus. But maybe it's been years since that commitment or that prayer you prayed a long time ago has meant anything to you or affected your life in any way, shape, or form. And you've walked away from that relationship with Jesus. Listen, whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, right now, this morning, could be your moment, and all you have to do is say yes. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have every little detail of it explained. The Holy Spirit's drawing you. You feel something in your heart right now saying, man, I need to get right with God. I need to make my life right with God. I need to receive that sacrifice. I need to receive. Listen, right now is your day to do it. We'll figure out all the details later. I'm not going to call you down front with every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm just going to ask you right now, if that's where you are, you say, man, I need to make that right with God. I need to make that step today. Will you raise your hand in this building? Will you raise your hand online? Would you make a comment? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Let's pray, everyone in this room. Out loud so you can hear it with your own ears, in your living room, around your kitchen table, wherever you are. Pray this after me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned, but I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now, forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creature through the power of the Holy Spirit, just like your word says that you'll do. In Jesus' name, thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Help me to follow you with my whole heart from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Make that real. Make that real, whether in this room, in this building, live in the moment, or some other time throughout the week, maybe even months from now, somebody stumbled along to this online, Father, right now, Lord, anyone that's praying that prayer, Holy Spirit, I pray you show up to them in a real, powerful, intimate, and supernatural way, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to persistently pursue everything that you've called us to go after. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we will not just sit around and wait for our need to move you, but, Lord, we will move in faith and allow our faith to dictate what we do, knowing that our faith is what pleases you and that faith unlocks the windows, doors, and moves heaven on our behalf in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that we will persistently pursue everything that you've called us to. God, that we will disturb everything around us if necessary. God, that we will be absolutely shameless in our pursuit of everything that you've called us to in Christ, in Jesus' precious name. Declare that over yourself. Say, I will persistently pursue the things of God in my life, in Jesus' name. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you guys so much. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm here with my beautiful...